We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Expect Casey to try to put a little something extra on the slider here.
Sun comes out from behind a cloud, and suddenly we have sunshine covering the infield. A 1-2 pitch to the plate. Swing and a miss! He struck him out! He struck him out! He struck him out! Aggies are going to the College World Series!
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Monday, April 15th, and if I sound like hell, it's because, well, I woke up a little stuffed up yesterday, and we're currently fighting that, but other than that, had ourselves a pretty decent week. How about yourself there, buddy?
You know, you're stuffed up, and I'm exhausted. I didn't get any sleep last night, so anyway, had a long weekend. Nothing bad, just a long weekend. Just busy between work and you know, Aggie sports and life.
Yes, the joys of that late spring life. Well, we were rolling along with that. But I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 14.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
And, we have a ton to talk about. Lots of exciting things. But first and foremost, there's something interesting still going on. We talked about this series last week, and we're currently sitting at 1-1 on the road with Alabama over with softball. So love to get your thoughts on the first couple of games.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we're ranked just above Alabama, so there's, you know, there's some even there's kind of an even playing there, playing field there when you just look at the rankings and where we're at. You know, what do we always say? When you go on the road in the SEC, don't get swept, right?
Right.
First game on Saturday was tough. Just could not scratch a run across the plate. It was a tough day at the ballpark. So to lose 2-0 with the offense that you know that we have is you know, it's frustrating. And then on top of that, you know, to only give up 2 runs and still not be able to pull it out. So there's some frustration level, I think, coming out of Saturday. But then Sunday, I didn't get to catch the whole game because we had a client event, but I did get to catch a good bit of the tail end. Thankfully, the game lasted a long time. Mm-hmm. But that'll happen, you know, when you put up 2 touchdowns and a field goal. But, you know, jumped out on them early, was able to really kind of mount a sizable lead. Unfortunately, but well, not unfortunately, it's Alabama, you know, right. They've got talent up and down the roster. Alabama was able to pull it within 2 at one point with, I believe it was a 3-run jack. Mm-hmm. So it was 7-2, and then they pull it to 7-5. And like, that's the perfect time for the BAS to start setting in a little bit. Like, oh, man, we're just not going to pull this out. And then to see the girls really respond in a massive way. Yeah. I mean, they set program records for, you know, runs scored against Alabama. I believe there was it was a record run scored against Alabama. Like, it's a record for Alabama, not a good record, but one nonetheless. No. Just an absolute explosion of offense on Sunday, and that was really the theme of the weekend for the maroon and white. You know, Saturday was a little tough for softball, but softball and baseball combined, just ridiculous amount of offensive firepower on display. Mm-hmm. And that's a fun thing. We got a Monday night game tonight. We'll have the rubber match, and A&M's got a chance to win a big time series on the road, big time. And so Emily Kennedy will be back out in the circle. You know, it was good to see yesterday's outburst, because you know, when you score that many runs, everybody gets a piece, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's impossible to score that many runs and not have you know, almost the entire lineup you know, have a solid day. You know, had a couple that had some rough days at the plate, but it was good to see, you know, some of the more successful players, so to speak, or just having a better offensive, go at it lately. You know, didn't have the prettiest day at the plate, but then we had some people that we've been waiting on kind of step up. Kennedy Powell had a great day, 2 for 4, 3 ribbies. I thought Trinity Cannon played well. She was 1 for 3, but she had 4 ribbies. So that's, she went 3 for 3, had 4 ribbies, had a great day, some clutch situations, and she's been having kind of a tough time with that. But overall, you liked what you saw. Allie Enright continues to do what she's doing. Kennedy Powell, obviously. But to play 17 runs against Alabama's, they've got to be feeling great going into tonight, right?
Well, you got to have a bit of confidence, especially like if you do drop game one. I feel like if you find a way to win game two, it's really hard for the team to adjust to game three that just got blasted like they did. So you got to think that the ladies are feeling confident coming into this game tonight. Plus, I mean, yeah, once again, national television will be on SEC Network and yeah, prime time 6 p.m. game. So should be really exciting times up there.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, go out and, on Saturday, Alabama went out and won a really hard fought game. I mean, 2-0's a tight game. That's a one swing of the bat kind of margin. And if I recall correctly, we left plenty of people on base on Saturday. So it's just kind of one of those frustrating things where you're getting them out on the pond and you can't seem to bring them in. So it was great to see a flip of that yesterday. And I thought they battled really well. There's still, some shakiness in the bullpen, unfortunately. But I thought Shaylee Ackerman pitched well. Emily Leavitt had a little tough go of it. And you get to the point where you had to pull Emily Kennedy back in, and she'll be starting tonight. And I get the softball pitchers can go, a good long way, but we have got to find some more consistency in the circle outside of Emily Kennedy. I think they showed a stat. I believe it was on Saturday. They showed Emily Kennedy and the rest of the team and how many pitches they'd thrown, and it was equal. Like she's throwing like 50, almost 50%, or might even been more than 50% of all the pitches thrown by Aggie pitching has been from Emily Kennedy. And I know she's a workhorse, and I know she loves it. But you have got to find a second solution. And we're into the season now, so you just got to figure out. And I just Trisha Ford's really having to play chess with it, figure out who has the hot hand or who's the perfect situational pitcher. It's tough. I mean, it's a burden on Trisha Ford when she doesn't have a super solid and consistent number two. And all of them have shown it in spurts. And I think that's where kind of just the issue is you can't figure out where it's going to come from just yet. So hopefully, with not that much softball left relative to the season, they can get something ironed out there. I mean, you can lean on Emily Kennedy, but you'd love to have somebody else you could truly lean on in that number two role. But love to see the bats get going. That was great. That's great boost of confidence coming off that Saturday matchup. And like you said, heading into a rubber match and you just got absolutely pasted. We'll see, how what the kind of discipline and maturity level is for Alabama tonight, coming off that massive loss. And same on our end though, coming off a huge just a battering, when you go out there and actually smoke somebody, how do you respond? Are you able to put that, most recent insane success, quite frankly, are you able to put that on the back burner and just go back to work? Like a lot of it's, baseball has been saying it a lot, like tomorrow's opening day, tomorrow's opening day. So I'm looking forward to the game tonight, though. I've got to go up to Nacogdoches and Naganowhere and do some work today, but I should be back in time to catch about 90% of the game. So I'm looking forward to a big time matchup, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game. Gotta like to see what the ladies can pull together here. I'm excited for them for sure. And then obviously after they get done with this series tonight, you got one road game on Wednesday heading up to Denton to take on North Texas, and then you have 3 games set back at home against Ole Miss. So another chance to just rock and roll at home.
Like, don't get me wrong, we talked about this with baseball. I loved them like going to Texas, playing away at Texas State. It's good for them. But like this late in the season and coming off a road series against Alabama, I don't know that we need to battle test ourselves in North Texas.
Probably not.
But that's another go take care of business kind of game. No matter what happens tonight, you've scratched a win at a top 15 team on the road. You would absolutely love to win the series tonight. I bet there's going to be a pretty good viewership number relative to softball for this game.
I think so.
Because Aggie softball, it can sometimes be a lot like Aggie basketball. Like when they start winning, people really start showing up. And because it's on the SEC Network and it's a Monday night, people are going to flip it on. And it's a top 15 matchup. So if you're just kind of a softball junkie in general, you're probably flipping the game on. But yeah, so run up to North Texas, hopefully again, take care of business in short order and come home early, and then Yeah, and then a good home series, and the way they're playing, you gotta kind of like, the potential for the crowds that we're going to have. You know, it is it's a must. It'll be muster weekend, but you also have the spring game going on, so you'll have plenty of people in town. So I'm looking forward to it. But all that to say, none of that matters, before tonight. So I think tonight's gonna be a great game. If you're in town, you can make, or no, excuse me, no, it's in Tuscaloosa. Well, if you're in Tuscaloosa, go. Attendance yesterday was just under 4,000, so their park holds quite a few. And Alabama fans are, I mean, obviously the success that they've had, they don't have a hard time having a good following and fan base. But if you're at the house, just flip it on. It'll be on the SEC Network tonight. They was it 6? Yeah, 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Their
That's
first
right.
pitch at 6. So get home from work and flip on the TV and watch it while you're making dinner.
And when you get on it this weekend, of course, Ole Miss, that first game will be at 6 p.m. on Friday night, so get ready for that, as well as other things going on Friday night, but I'll get into that in a little bit. In the short term, though, very, very proud of the way the girls responded, excited for how they do tonight. On the other side, talking about the way people have been responding, showing up to places, I mean, case in point, look at what happened at Olsen this weekend. You had 22,489 paid in the building, which is the one of the largest weekend attendances we've had, and the largest that we've had basically since we did the renovation. So things are really hype on baseball, and obviously for good reason. You go out this past week, you play a UTSA team on Tuesday, who a lot of people gave us flack for how the game went, but at the same time, A&M wins the game. And if you look at UTSA, where they stand currently, they're currently number one in the American Athletic Conference after taking the series against East Carolina, who, mind you, it's number nine in the country
Yeah,
right
East
now.
Carolina is no joke.
They're no joke. So when you win a series against a team like that, you're not a bad team. And despite all of the flack that we had during that game, four errors and giving up a bunch of runs early, we found a way to respond. We came back and won that game pretty handily. And took that same momentum into this weekend and absolutely blitzed number six, Vanderbilt.
Well, midweek game, I think everybody would agree that's the worst baseball we played this year, hands down, and it's not close. I remember watching the game, and at one point I was just like, why not another error? Why not? But like you said, for them to kind of come back and dig in and come back and win the game, because you can catch a lot of flack for how you play, and that happens. You're gonna have a bad night, and every once in a while, everybody on the team has a bad night all on the same night. But to see them battle back, really show that they understand the importance of every game being the most important game, kind of thing. And you can give them flack, but you learn a lot when you play like absolute garbage and you win. And so there's a lot of grit to be gained from that game. And then there's also the fact that you can complain all you want to, but we won.
You win the game.
That is the epitome of taking care of business. Is when you go out and everybody comes out flat and it looks like half of them have their heads in the clouds, or we're already looking forward to Vandy or something. I mean, there's no telling. I had a bad day in class. I don't know. These are college kids. Like, you just never know. For them to come back and win, it was big. And then what's funny is heading into the Vandy series, I didn't think twice about the Tuesday outcome. I don't put a lot of stock on the mentality of Tuesday games, win or lose. I think Florida is a great example of that. They have no problem losing midweek games and winning on the weekends, although they seem to be doing less of that.
Very much so.
Yeah,
What, they've lost four in a row now or something ridiculous. Like,
it's
what are they
wild.
doing? What are they doing?
So I mean, the series opens up Friday night, and you just get out and punch them in the mouth early, and I think there's a bit of a kind of a scenario where, that's the number six team in the country. And are they the number six team? I don't know. But to this point, that's where they had them. And we just kind of shelled
Kinda is an understatement. I mean,
them.
we out hit them 33 hits to 17, 13 walks to their four, and we had 29 strikeouts to their 18 over the course of the weekend. Not to mention, if you look at Our pitching, our hitting, just it seemed like across the board, outside of one inning where Vanderbilt put up a four spot, there really wasn't much to look at negatively in the pitching department. And I will say this for the hitting, especially over the first two games, you set the tone so very good early by stepping on them on the first and second innings, putting up, six runs, five runs, and just taking the wind out of them. And we really did see that from the top part of this lineup. I'm proud of those three guys. And then the rest of the lineup, it's just there's not an easy out right now.
Yeah,
Everybody looks
I saw somewhere, I think it might have been Hop. He said your 1 through 3 batters are hitting 356, then your 5 holes hitting 330. I mean, these are just dumb numbers, and it's not. Georgia is such a perfect example because Condon is insane, like he's completely insane. But look at their record. Now, one player isn't going to fix anything, maybe unless his name is Aschenbeck. But to have that kind of to have that kind of depth of lineup is just staggering for a pitcher to have to navigate. And it doesn't matter if it's a third time through the lineup. These guys are they have such a professional approach at the plate. You can tell it's a byproduct of the coaching, quite frankly, because the pitchers are the same. They're so dialed in. Prager going sevenfold of, let's go home early kind of thing. That was I think that was one of the biggest shots. It wasn't just that we beat them game one, it's that we run ruled them.
You went out there and you set the tone, and especially not having to burn through any relief pitching that early in this series is just so crucial. And I mean, they understood what the assignment was, went out there and took care of business, and then did it again. I mean, you went out there and did it two games in a row. You didn't run rule them on the second one, but it doesn't obviously didn't matter. You put up the runs you needed to do to win those games.
You went out on a Friday night and you run ruled the number 6 team in the country. I mean, there's one thing for them to go on the road and get punched in the mouth on Friday night, because sometimes that just happens to the SEC. Your Friday night starters, and Prager just threw another heater, again. But you went out and got run ruled, man. Like the number 6 team in the country doesn't get run ruled.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, and so it just unbelievable performance on Friday night, and then you turn around on Saturday and it's just basketball numbers again. You get a fantastic outing on the mound on Saturday. Probably maybe his best set, first or second best start of the year. I would guess. And if you're gonna pick on anything, it's probably Sunday. Is there some concern with Lampkin? Is Cortez gonna slide in that spot? But then Cortez comes in and again, he's just he kind of put a lid on it for us because
Well,
we
that was
go ahead.
something that we were discussing ahead of time, was like, do we switch that up? I think Cortez has found a really good role in that middle relief, and I think that's a good spot for him to be right this minute. I think if you see another struggle like this weekend when we play against Alabama,
Yeah.
maybe start considering that. But I think at least for the short term, I mean, I like where the lineup's at right now. I mean, you're coming off of another great series win, and a sweep on top of that at home. And I mean, that's all we can ask for at this point, is these guys are doing the job. And
Well, and don't forget, I mean, you still have Wanting that's coming along, so you may have an option as we get closer to regionals, and to have that option possibly pop back up and in full health with no pitches on his arm, that could be a bad thing. It could be a bad thing. He's been out of it so long. We saw him go in, what, last week? I think it was last week or week four. We saw him go in. He only threw like 8 or 11 pitches. Wasn't great, but that's the first time he's been on the mound all year. And so, you still got another guy who has been a starter for you. So as you get into regionals, super regionals, your depth of pitching is probably more important than anything else.
I would argue it's the most important thing,
Yeah.
because when you go into the late season, you have so many games in such a short amount of time. Really, what we do during the season is not a good reflection on how the postseason goes. It's not, because when you get into the postseason, especially SEC tournament, I mean, you're playing, virtually every day. You might have a day off, but that's where your fourth, fifth, sixth pitcher in your rotation starts coming into play. And once you're getting into regional play, and especially when you get to O-Town. Those are the type of things that will determine if you're going to end up winning the title or not. And we saw it happen when we played against Oklahoma both games when we were there last time. OU had the pitch and depth. We just couldn't quite match what they had, and it reflected. So I think if we can really shore up, like all the different role guys and get them set, have your set closers, have your set starters, have your set middle relievers, and then have a couple of guys like Troy come up and, maybe redevelop themselves as the season kind of concludes here. You got to think that the boys are really going to be feeling good heading into the postseason.
Well, I mean, yeah, so you got Wanting, you've got Cortez.
Yeah.
Sandejo is a little bit more of a utility knife, so there's a lot of places you can work with him. So again, the pitching depth is just huge. You'd love to see Lampkin get it back going. So hopefully he can just kind of turn around. And not that he's, been awful, but if you're looking for weaknesses right now. Not that he's a weakness, just his last two performances, maybe, obviously not where you want to be. You'd love for all of your starters to be able to give you quality, quality starts, which is asking, honestly, probably way too much. But, more often than not, you want the quality starts. And I think, talking about pitching being the most important, what was it? Gosh, 2 years ago, Tennessee undefeated for most of the season, just absolutely pummeling people into the dirt, scoring a billion runs. You can't mash your way to a title, not anymore.
We definitely saw that. And I mean that's happened in years past, even for this team. I mean, you look at 2016 as a great example. I mean, A&M was an absolute raucous lineup. I would say if you compare this team to 16 as far as like talent, I mean they're about on level. I would say maybe even our team this year might be more talented, which is scary. But as good as those bats were, we came into contact with some tough pitching up there at TCU, which was something that Schloss and the whole crew had put together at that point. And it was a poor matchup for us. And we never even got to sniff a shot at the title, with one of the best teams that we ever fielded. And that happened previously too. And you want to throw it way back, go back to 89. That was the biggest issue with that A&M team. I mean, you had a mashing lineup, but the moment you ran into tough pitching, your pitching didn't hold up and it didn't quite pan out. So I firmly stand on pitching being such an important aspect of this team. And I'm very happy with what Max Wiener has been able to do in such a short amount of time. And obviously
It's unbelievable.
it's unbelievable. And we've certainly seen some foul ups here and there, and we've seen some struggles here and there, but I mean, that's just what happens in a game. So, and the course of a season. So go out there and do what you got to do. But I can't be more happy with the way they did. And obviously the polls reflect that. A&M's now number one, unanimous across the board. But obviously, as cool as that is, it's not necessarily the goal right now. You want to be number one at the end of the year.
Being number one right now is great and all, but again, you want to be the last man standing. I'm looking forward to a fun little bit. We got Air Force coming in town.
Yeah, Air Force is fun. We saw how they've performed fairly well over the course of the season at times. I mean, they went on the road and they gave Texas a good game. I don't remember if they won or lost, but they made the trip to Austin. So them coming back down here, not that crazy of a deal. Although I'll say the environment's probably a little different compared to the one that they had in Austin. But
Well, Service Academies generally play pretty good baseball.
yeah.
It kind of furthers my, and look, I grew up playing football and it's probably my first love, but I'm a firm believer that baseball athletes are some of the most analytic and smart athletes of them all. Because when you look around and you see, you see Service Academies and Ivy League schools, and they're like their most successful program is their baseball team. I mean,
So something.
Vanderbilt's no slouch of a school, and they always field a good team.
Yeah.
Baseball. So it's Air Force will be a fun little test midweek, I think.
More so now that I just looked at their recent schedule. So they just played Dallas Baptist, who was ranked number 15 at the time. They won that series. Air Force did. So all of a sudden, Air Force coming off of a pretty hopping series weekend, kind of similar to UTSA and what they did to our friends over at East Carolina. And of course, they're taking that here.
Yeah, but
be interesting.
The one thing I will say about Air Force, though, they're not going to be like UTSA or SAM or any of the local Texas schools. They're not going to go all out and throw their Friday night guy on a Tuesday night just to beat A&M. They're not going to. If they do, that's so dumb.
I wouldn't.
So it'll be a battle of, you know, kind of the midweek / bullpen pitch by committee kind of stuff. And that's one thing I want to talk about. You know, we were talking about the depth of pitching and the different roles of our pitchers. That's something that if you paid enough attention to it, or if you think back and remember it, you know, it happening at the time, and then you realize how many different situations the Sloss has been able to get our pitchers into. And that develops so much more ability for rotation within kind of the setup of your starter, middle, you know, long reliever, middle reliever, short, you know, whatever you want to set up and closer guys. You know, it just gives you so much more data really to go off of. So, you know, the more data you compile, the easier these decisions become. And because he's really, and I doubt it's, he's making a point like, I have to make sure I pitch five people today. Like I doubt he's doing that.
Sure.
Because, you know, he you'll hear him in press conferences talk about, I'd like to see these four or five guys pitch on Tuesday, but that doesn't mean that all five guys are going to pitch on Tuesday. He tries to do it, but he also understands that he's there to win games. Like Tuesdays aren't participation time. But because he's been able to do so much, rotation with pitchers and put them in so many different situations, I feel like, all of that is just going to, it will be nothing but positive for us as we get closer to, the SEC tournament, and then we get to regionals and, hopefully super regionals and so on, is having these guys that have actually been battle tested. And even on a Tuesday night, those guys are out there, and baseball's baseball, man. When you're out pitching, you're pitching in the situation and in the game that you're in. So I've loved it. Sometimes it's head scratching. Cause since I've got somebody out and this, he doesn't pitch like major leagues where you send one pitcher out to get one guy out, how they used to do that.
Yeah.
But there's been some outings that have been really short and just kind of very situational. But at this point, you have no right to question what's going on in that dugout.
No, I mean, if you look at us on the course of the year, a fascinating stat just popped up to me. We have not lost a non-conference game all year. A&M has cruised through. And
the record has cruised through. There have been some tough ones.
Cruised through. Obviously, we've had some fun games in the meantime with obviously UTSA. Prairie View. Honestly, even Houston Christian. I mean, if you look at a lot of these games and you go back, Sam Houston earlier in the year, we've had a lot of games, came down to one run, couple runs.
Got it out.
But you gutted it out, exactly. And you saw it, early on with Rhode Island as well, that, extra inning win. But the thing is, you still won those games. That's what we were talking about before. Like, yes, I understand that we're trying to work on certain pitchers. Yes, we're trying to give these guys opportunities, but you still work towards that end goal, winning that
game. You're there to win.
Yeah, you're there to win that game.
Winning is the name of the game, and winning is a culture.
Yeah, and we have certainly developed that this year. I mean, A&M now, not just number one, but if you go and look at the record, A&M has the best record in baseball right now. I mean, it's all there.
You had to figure that we would at least jump up to number two, and then Alabama takes care of Arkansas, and you realize that we just swept the number six team in the country. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And again, like we said, being ranked number one right now really doesn't matter, but it's nice.
It's good to have recognition, especially when we're getting into the postseason, because at the end of the day, if you're number one, number two, that's very beneficial for your scheduling as you're getting into the postseason. Let's say all things hold and we just do what we were supposed to do.
Just win series.
Yeah, we win our series for the rest of the season, including that Arkansas series. Ooh. We go if we cruise through those, if we win all those series, all of a sudden A&M sitting potentially as the number one overall seed. That's a good spot to be in.
Man, Olsen is going to be rocking for that Arkansas series.
You know it. I'm so very pumped. I mean, you've got a handful of great series coming up. Obviously, with us going on the road to Alabama, who we now know is not much of a slouch. They never were.
No.
But, never a slouch. But now you have to go on the road where number one just went to and lost with their elite pitching. So if you can go there with our outstanding offensive output, and combine that with decent pitching, I think we'll be all right. And
Well,
then,
and
yeah.
here's what's funny, because you really have two sides to this series. How does Alabama respond? Are they just flying high with confidence? And rightfully so, they should
Maybe
be.
so. Yeah.
Number one comes to your house and you win the series. That's big time.
It is.
We're coming off a 25-inning sweep of the number six team in the country.
Yeah.
Are we, do we land back down? Do we get our feet back on the ground and grind out like, tomorrow's opening day, tomorrow's opening day? So you have two really, high flying teams right now coming into this.
Yeah.
Because Alabama has every right to be high on their horse, about beating Arkansas, because Arkansas pitching has been stupid.
They have.
And when our hitting hasn't been too bad either. But
No.
so that'll be interesting to see how both teams respond coming off such successful weekends. And Alabama getting to be at home, it'll be big. That as raucous as Tuscaloosa can get, it'll be that.
Well, and they are sitting at number 18 in the current D1 poll. So they are a ranked opponent. They're not going to be a slouch on the road at all. We know that. And it, now this is the joy of being number one, heavy as the head. All of a sudden, everybody's gunning for number one again. And guess who's number one? You. So you better be ready for everybody's best shot.
Well, think about Alabama. I mean, they're thinking we just knocked off the number one team to bring us a new number one team. Like I get it, and I would be too. If I were an Alabama fan, I'd be pretty confident heading to this weekend. At least maybe winning the series. But for us, this is this. I think this is a really big weekend because whether you like it or not, whether it matters or not, we are ranked number one, and these kids see it and they know it. And so the question is, can they go in there and instead of saying, let's just make sure we don't get swept, can they go on the road and go win a series? Can they go on the road and replicate what they just did and smash somebody on the road? So it'll be really interesting to see. It's going to be must-watch TV, that series. Absolutely.
It's going to be a good one, and it kind of has a feel for me, kind of similar to the South Carolina series just a couple of weeks ago, where it's like, hey, good ranked team on the road, can we go out there and do our job? And obviously, we did that time. Now, you
Well,
just and you got to hope that we maintain that.
outside of a disappointing performance, there was opportunity in that third game to still sweep. So that was, that was a great road test, obviously. If Alabama's going to be one, we know that they just beat Arkansas in their house, right?
They're not bad, not a bad team. So I'm excited to see how that series plays out. It's just maintaining the fun on the diamonds. It's kind of nice for us to maintain on this podcast where we stay very excited throughout the whole season.
Positive.
Yeah, and we can maintain positivity throughout the season. But yeah, I mean, rest of the top five right now. I mean, honestly, the top 10 for baseball is really fascinating. I mean, A&M number one, Arkansas two, and Kentucky's jumped up to three, and rightly so. You have one loss in conference play.
I just don't know where that came from.
No, they're cruising
Like
on.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch some Kentucky baseball, honestly, because I weren't they picked like middle of the road in the East? Or last?
Very, very low. I think they were just ahead of Missouri in the preseason in a lot of
A
polls.
special season for them. I mean, it must be fun. I bet you Kentucky fans are having a blast.
A lot of people had us kind of middle of the road. So that's just the way the baseball does kind of pan out, though. It's like there's always certain teams that are going to have a decent season. I mean, you've seen it in the past with teams like Kentucky creeping up. You've seen it happen in the past where, Alabama has a really, really good year and everybody's like, why? Or even Auburn. Auburn, who's always kind of a decent middle of the pack West team, and they'll have a big jump on a year. It's just that. That's the beauty of this conference. You never know, but there's always going to be somebody.
Well, and just well, the quality of baseball is there anyways, though. I mean, it's they didn't get beat up in non-conference and all of a sudden start winning in conference. So
No.
I mean the SEC again, you have some teams you expect to be up that are down and some that are down that are up and up at a level to where they're ranked like that. So I mean, there's never any surprise to see SEC splattered all over the top 10 and the top 25.
No, but yeah, we did see a handful drop out, of course. I mean, Florida's no longer ranked for obvious reasons. I mean, you're sitting at 18 and 17, and you just lost another series. And yeah, I think enough of the paint and the shine has worn off on what people were thinking Florida was supposed to be.
Yeah, if you ever need to find somebody to write a book, How to Get Fired in 90 Days, that Florida head coach might be writing that book pretty soon, and it don't matter, which is crazy to think.
I just pray they make that tournament and we get a chance to play them for one game so
I
we
would
can
like a little
rest,
payback.
because we need to rectify that
Yeah.
series just a little
Yeah.
bit.
Yeah, that
But
was brutal.
I'd
Yeah,
say they sold their soul to win that series, apparently.
but Florida, like, and now you're sitting here thinking, like, in what scenario do we play Florida in the SEC? Like, what realistic scenario do we end up seeing Florida in the SEC championship?
At this
Or
point,
in the tournament, excuse me.
well, they got to take care of business for at least a couple of games before we
They've
might
got a
see them.
lot of work to do.
Yeah,
It's just surprising, to be honest. I mean,
it
I can't imagine they'll can their coach just because they've had so much success, but I don't
right.
know. It's one of those things where when programs get drunk with success, the fan base will turn really quickly.
Cough, cough, Kentucky. Cough, cough, whoever. Yeah, it just.
Yeah. And I mean, Florida has been a really good baseball team for a really long time.
They have, and they've maintained that. Yeah.
So
So when
this
you.
season ain't gonna cut it unless unless Florida can turn the corner. There's still five series left in conference slate. So
Yeah.
they can turn the corner enough and just salvage it. And it, look, you get to the postseason, you're generally not getting fired.
No, and let's talk. I mean, we've seen it happen in the past, even with A&M teams. Look at what happened with us in 17. We did just enough to creep into the tournament.
Yeah, we did.
But what did we benefit from? We benefited from a great regional draw. We just had to go down to Houston, and the rest of those teams were not anything to worry about. And you walk out of that regional sweeping it, and you get extremely lucky in a sense with Davidson taking care of business against North Carolina. And all of a sudden, you get to host a super as a three seed.
That was fantastic, by
It
the
was fantastic. I loved it. That was the first time I had been at a regional, like a super regional clinching, win at Olsen ever. So that was really cool to be a part of. And obviously, the previous shot we had at it, we had to do it on the road at Tallahassee, but took two of three from Florida State. So that it's always a fun time, and got to be happy for the way the baseball is looking. And honestly, I'm excited for softball. I'm excited. I mean, heck, what was it? Tennis just went back to back to back. The women to
Yeah, women's
win.
tennis, three-peat.
They won. Yeah, they just completed three-peats. Spring sports rolling along. They're
Golf's
doing.
been doing great,
Yeah.
both men and women's.
Track and field were both ranked number one in something I looked at.
Looking down the line just a touch with baseball schedule. And obviously, again, you never know, right? We'll just say that we'll preface that. But yeah, you go on the road to Bama. You got another midweek against Cougar High, and they're like bottom dwellers, I believe, in the Big 12 right now. And you got home at Georgia, which is cool. We'll all get to see Condon, and
Yeah.
we should win the series in theory because outside of him, they're not great. But
Sure.
then your last two series before Arkansas are they're both road series, but they're Ole Miss and LSU, and you talk about two programs that are really having tough years relative to kind of their pedigree.
Yeah.
That's Ole Miss and LSU, so it could really set up a very, very interesting, what was already going to be interesting, like a completely insane season finale series at home with Arkansas.
Yeah. And you got to think both LSU and Ole Miss, they're going to be chomping at the bit for a shot at us for those games, especially LSU, because
Especially
let's face it,
LSU,
I mean,
yeah.
it is a rivalry. I don't care who says otherwise. When we play LSU, that's always a fun series, both there
Especially
and
in
here.
baseball.
Oh yeah. It's a great rivalry for baseball. And actually, I went and looked up the stats a while back, and it was kind of fascinating. If you look at the West, up to that point, we had pretty middle, like we were pretty balanced with every series. I think we trailed some, like we trail Arkansas pretty decent, but everybody else is pretty middle of the road. And then ironically, the one team that we've had a ton more success against than any of them have been LSU, and they don't much care for that,
Yeah.
and obviously with their national championship pedigree and how good they are as a program, and obviously the national championship curse seems to be rearing its ugly head. for them right now. And they've been just on the absolute struggle bus. So you know they're going to want a chance to get some redemption on that. And they've got a couple weeks till that takes place.
Yeah. Yeah, so one more game tonight. Mm-hmm. Softball game, 6 o'clock. Would be huge. Would be obviously not the statement that sweeping, you know, number six is, but going on the road and beating Alabama, I think would further solidify people's opinions and outside, you know, Texas A&M, you know, their opinion of our softball program. And they were, I don't know if you got to see any of it, but I was watching it yesterday and, you know, they were really praising Trisha Ford and rightly so. She deserves all the praise in the world. You know, she came in, she's put together the staff that's there that's made the improvement. So it's not just her. That's the thing. Yeah. Like Schloss isn't the one coaching the pitchers. He's the one smart enough to hire that guy to coach the pitchers.
Exactly.
So I'm so happy for the girls and their success. I really hope they can pack Davis this weekend. Baseball's out of town, so there's no reason not to go hop over to the softball diamond. You know, go to the spring game, walk across Welburn, you know, hop over to Davis Diamond. If you haven't been before, it is a beautiful facility.
It's a great ballpark.
They did really well with it. So if you're gonna be in town for the spring game.
What time is it?
Wait, so hold on. Friday's 6 p.m. Excuse me. I had that wrong.
Right.
I think Saturday. Let's see here. Come on.
You're good. Let's see. Well, what I had here. Oh, I don't want that. We're out here doing a little bit of research on the podcast at the moment.
I know, right? Derp.
It's all right. So, the joys of us. So yeah, 1 p.m. at Kyle Field is what I'm seeing for the spring game. So games at 1 o'clock, softball starts at 4. You'll have plenty of time to get over there to go watch softball.
Yeah, 4. That's right.
Yeah. So you should be more than good to get both of those games rolling if y'all are excited about checking out the game. So please, by all means, go check that out. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I have a topic that I have to bring to the table.
All right.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with sports whatsoever.
That's all right.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to preface all of this by saying ham is an elite protein.
Okay.
So you have no idea where I'm going with this.
No.
So not only is it an elite protein, it is an absolute elite breakfast protein, correct?
Sure. I'll give you that.
All right. So... I'm a big leftovers guy, right? Like I hate food going bad. So I always eat, you know, I always try and eat all the leftovers because I always cook way too much. I have just an inability and subconscious refusal to cut down recipes. So I made a ham and then I, with some of the leftovers, I made this ham casserole. It's like peas and cheese and, you know, egg noodles, even had like the crunchy onions, like from green bean casserole over the top. It was just fantastic. And, I'm a firm believer that if you put an egg on anything, it's breakfast.
That's fair.
So this is kind of where I'm getting. So this morning I had some of that casserole and I made 2 scrambled eggs and mixed it up with some, you know, put it over top with some cheese. And that was my breakfast this morning. My question is, does any food become breakfast if you add an egg to it and you eat it in the morning? Like, can any leftovers be breakfast? I'm a firm believer that it can be. Like leftover free birds from yesterday night, take it out of the tortilla, 2 scrambled eggs, you got breakfast. You know what I'm saying?
Well, just the egg as a protein. It's like almost a definition of a kick off your day kind of thing. And
right.
It's in as a strong proponent of somebody who is not a huge fan of eggs. And the reason why I'm not, it's always been a texture thing for me more than anything. It's just, I just don't much care for the texture of egg, but I understand its role. I will eat my eggs. I'm not that guy, but
but to mix it in other food, like isn't that how breakfast tacos started? We took a taco and threw an egg in it and literally just called it a breakfast taco. We didn't change shit else about the taco.
No, give me
a just threw an egg on it. We're like, check it out, I have breakfast tacos.
It's like, give me a bacon, egg, and cheese taco. I'm a happy camper in the morning.
See, like I'll go to Whataburger every once in a while and I'll get a number one with cheese all the way, add an egg. That's a breakfast sandwich to me.
It is at that
point. Just because it has nice fresh produce on it, lettuce and tomato, doesn't mean that the egg and cheese and the meat aren't there.
You're right.
Just because it's not breakfast sausage.
I will say, speaking of breakfast with Whataburger, the breakfast burger there for a little bit when they were throwing the hash browns in there in addition. Whew.
Yeah,
I said,
for sure.
I know many of the boys in the band, that was kind of their go-to when we would stop at Whataburger in the morning.
Yeah, breakfast burgers.
Either that or a good old taquito. We're a big fan of the taquitos.
Yeah, I'm a Bob guy actually. Get it, you can get it ranchero style, so they add jalapenos into the eggs.
There you go.
The only thing, like, in my mind that's breakfast that an egg detracts from is your breakfast pizza. And
Yeah.
not pizza that's made intended to be a breakfast pizza. I'm talking last night's pizza.
Yeah, at that point, you might as well just eat the pizza.
Right, yeah, cracking an egg over a slice of pepperoni seems like sacrilege. Like,
Yeah, so I'll throw another food thing at you. Pineapple on pizza. What's your opinion on that?
I love pineapple. I love pizza. They need to stay in their own lane.
My dad is the absolute opposite opinion. His all-time favorite is Canadian bacon and pineapple. He loves a good Canadian bacon pineapple pizza.
I've tried it, so it's not like I'm just sitting here saying I don't, I don't like it and I haven't tried it. And I can understand the sweet and savory kind of combo. I do. I just personally don't care for it.
Me either. I mean, like I said, I'm in the same boat. I like pineapple.
I'll eat pineapple out of a can
Yeah, I like
all day.
pineapple. And I mean, anytime that we have a shot at a fruit, I'm a big fan of pineapple. But when it comes to pizza, keep it away from my pizza. I'm a put sausage on it, put pepperoni on it. I'm a happy camper. I don't need all the frills. I don't need to get anything crazy. That's generally either a pepperoni, a sausage, or both. That's kind of my go-to.
So, like, and I have an extreme pizza problem. So this is coming from a man with experience. I think I have enough bonus points to have my own franchise at this point.
You're preaching to the choir.
So my go-to combos are pepperoni and green olives,
Cool.
Italian sausage and green peppers,
Okay.
hamburger and onion, or extra cheese with Asiago cheese. Now, if you're doing it at Domino's, always put extra sauce. You don't pay for the extra sauce, and it absolutely makes it way more elite.
So here's
And
another.
even better on reheat in the oven too, having that sauce.
All right, what's the crust of choice though?
You know, that's I this is the one thing where I don't care either way. I really like thin crust, but on reheat, even in the oven, it's just doesn't hold up. I think the pan pizza is elite, and like Domino's has been running these commercials now for the last couple of weeks talking about it's their hidden secret. Like, you've been doing pan pizza for 30 years, it's not a hidden secret. So probably those two. The hand toss is probably third for me.
Sure.
I like the thin stuff if it's New York style. So like in New York, the thin crust, I'm all for it. Just order from Domino's, the pan pizza is elite. Paisanos, if you're here in town, their deep dish is immaculately heavy. It's like, you get the pizza and you're like, great, I'm feeding the block. But their deep dish is great. I love deep dish too. So I'm not a New York style or Chicago style. Like, I don't fall any I like I won't pick one because I love them both.
And I fall kind of in the category of what am I feeling that day a lot of the time. It's most of the time I'll default like thin crispy. I like a good thin crispy pizza. I mean, it's not so heavy on myself. I feel like I can eat a couple slices, not feel bad about it, and enjoy it. But then maybe I'll have the fat kid moment and be like, yeah, no, I want a pan. I want or you know, especially you want to talk about spots that we do have here local, franchise. So BJ's Brewhouse makes a
Oh, their
deep
pizza is
dish
good.
pizza. Oh, their deep dish might be one of my all-time favorites. It is it the, and you can do a personal, just a small one. They are so good.
Well, and that's probably where it depends. Like, more often than not, I generally, like, if I have my like if I had a we do have a legit New York style place here in town, Champions, actually. They just have kind
Right.
of funky hours. But if I had to pick between that and deep dish, like, deep dish is your fat kid moment, because like, you're eating pizza with a fork, bro. Like, that's,
Right.
and you're having one slice generally, from a full pie. So I probably err towards New York style.
Sure.
But I love, like, outside of pineapple. Well, and my mushroom. I have no fungus among us. I have a strict no fungus problem.
None.
But I don't hate on people that like mushrooms. That's fine. I like to cook. My wife likes them. My daughter likes them, so I'll cook them. And but yeah,
I like
I'm a
certain
pizza junkie,
kinds of
so.
I like certain kinds of mushrooms, just not on my food. I
See, I just don't know fungus policy, period. So apparently, though, and I've been told because I've done it for my wife before, and I've done it for, I guess, my grilled stuffed portobello caps are apparently absolute heaters, which is crazy because I've never tried them. Like, I know, like, I've tried what goes in them, to make sure that I like it, but I've never actually had one because gross.
It's just it once again, it's just a texture thing again. It's like I don't much care for the texture of because obviously they don't taste anything. And if they do, they just taste rooty. It's earthy. I don't like feeling like I just picked up something out of the ground and started chewing on it. I don't much care for that.
I'm not a huge fan of eating something that very easily grows on poop.
There. You're not wrong about that. Well, I mean, no. But
All
all
right, what you
right.
got coming up?
So this week we are rather busy. So we actually have three shows coming up this week. Quick update for the band. So Lieutenant Chancellor, our Chase's father, he passed away on Saturday evening. He had a long fight with cancer. And it just came down to at that point.
Yeah,
It had
cancer.
spread to the bones and it wasn't going to be a thing. So we lose him Saturday night, Saturday morning. And obviously Chase had already told us that he probably wasn't going to make the weekend. So we called up our friend Troy Stone, and Troy, who was a longtime drummer for Waiting on Hayden, some buddies of ours. In fact, Travis Dubnik, our guitar player, they were both in that former band. And Troy came out there and just did an absolutely phenomenal job. Did everything that we asked him to do. Crushed what was an incredibly fun night of a sellout at Green Hall in front of 800 raucous fans. And believe it or not, as much fun as the show itself was, and it was a blast, the highlight of the night was right before we took the stage. We have a pre-show playlist that we've been running for the last several, for the last several years, and we change out some of the songs on it, based on how we're feeling, the songs that we're kind of liking right now, stuff we want to put out in front of people. And one of the songs that we've added, it's the very last song before we do our intro. We added "Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue" from
Oh,
Toby Keith, because obviously we
nice.
lost a great in Toby Keith earlier this year, and truly one of the pioneers of the modern country sound that we know and love, out of his style in that region. So we really appreciate Toby and his impact. But "Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue," we played that, and the entire building was singing it. Everybody had their hats off in the air, just.
Nice.
And we saw videos. It was incredible. The energy in the building was immaculate. It was so much fun. So loved seeing that. But on this week's front, we are playing in San Angelo, out at the rodeo there. We'll be there on Wednesday. So that'll be a lot of fun. If you're out west a little bit, we'll be out in Angelo. The Friday night, we return to College Station for a show. We will be playing at Hurricane Harry's, opening for Casey Donahue. May or may not be the last time we play there. So
Right.
get excited about that prospect. We are fighting like hell to get a headline there in the fall. Hopefully that first weekend, when all the kids are back. But
What time are you guys going to be on stage if you're opening?
so doors open at 9. We will take the stage at 10 o'clock, and then
Okay.
Casey will take the stage at 10 at 11:30. So we'll get a full 90-minute set from 10 to 11. So if you're wanting to come out and watch us, we'd love to have the support here local, especially with people coming into town for the spring game, maybe a day early.
Right on.
Maybe come out, watch some softball, and then come out and watch us play.
Yeah, there you go. Go to softball game at 6, then head on over to Hurricane Harry's and catch them. And you can stay or you can leave after they're done and grill a chicken. And
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Casey Donahue, and he's got great music. So absolutely support him if you want. But would love to have y'all come out and watch us at the very least. So that would be great. And then Saturday we're rolling up to Mount Pleasant. We're playing up there at the Titus County Fair Arena. They're having a barbecue cook-off deal, and it's supposed to be us, them, Dirty Roses, who's a great southern rock band out of Alabama area. I'm pretty sure. And then Cody West headlining. And One of our buddies, Kyan Barnes, who is a great bass player, he had recently just gotten into a bit of a struggle with his hearing, a neurological thing where he completely lost his hearing,
Jeez.
which as a musician, I can't imagine ever losing my hearing like that. But he got cochlear implants, and at this,
Cochlear,
yeah, and apparently it's going very well, enough to a point that he's, as of starting this weekend, he should be back on the road playing. So I have a, I've got a hope that I get to go watch him play. That's going to be a really exciting thing. So that's some positives, some very cool positives. One more thing I wanted to add. I did find a, I made one find at Green this weekend that I've been looking for a long time, and added it to my vinyl collection. And that is Jerry Jeff's Riding High,
Nice.
with one of my personal favorite Jerry Jeff songs on it, Pissing in the Wind. And so I wanted to get a hold of that. And yeah, release schedule's going well. In fact, Why in the World, which is our most recent release, is currently up to number two for us on Spotify. It's overtaken Take Away This Pain for that slot, which is really good to unseed some of these top songs from us in the past. So people are starting to listen to the newer stuff more, which is great. And yeah, we'll kind of get rolling on more releases as soon as I have dates and times. But got a few more songs rolling out here soon. And we'll be sure to let you know when those release. So excited for that.
Right on.
Yeah. So be sure to catch us if once again, haven't talked about socials in a while, but be sure to follow us on all of those. Once again, that's Roy May 15 over there on Twitter, and I am Rob the Slapper on there. And you can find us both on Instagram. You can find this podcast on Instagram. We'd love for y'all to share it, push it out to friends and folks, and tell anybody who might want to listen in or maybe want to catch some sport
Hear us
talk,
just
some food
ramble about
talk,
Aggie sports.
some music talk. We do it all, and we're more than happy to continue to drive this train. A
Breakfast food talks.
little breakfast food talk.
Just want to say real quick, hope everybody coming in town is safe. Enjoy the spring game. I hope you're able to get over to Davis Diamond and catch some softball. And more importantly, I hope everyone has a very enjoyable muster Sunday, and you know, is
Yes.
able to reflect over the past year and kind of you know rejuvenate by being around other Aggies and breaking bread. So I'm looking forward to muster. I'm going out to speak at the Four Corners Club. Out in Colorado. So I'll be out in Durango. Saturday, I will be in a saddle, just hanging out on a little trail ride with my buddy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I've never been to Colorado.
Love
So
it. It's beautiful.
yeah, looking forward
Where
to
is
it.
it in Colorado? One more
I'll
time.
be in Durango.
Oh, there you go. Great. It's a good area out there. Know it well. So go enjoy Durango. It's a cool area.
So.
But I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful week.
Beat the hell out of Alabama
Beat the hell out of Alabama. Beat the
tonight,
hell out.
6 p.m. SEC
Yep.
Network.
Yes. Beat the hell out of Alabama twice.
Yeah.
So let's get on the and Ole Miss. Y'all take care. Good one.